This is Twit.
Well, folks, it's time for the Bites. Now, this week we heard some interesting details. Apple is rolling out the ability to add driver's licenses and state IDs to the Walla app on the iPhone and Apple Watch in select U.S. states. Now, this is interesting because the first states to introduce this functionality will actually be Arizona, Georgia, but Connecticut, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, and Oklahoma, and Utah will follow thereafter. Now, neither the states nor Apple have said exactly when the rollouts will begin, other than giving a general fall 2021 target. Now, the Walla is an app, obviously, maybe you've used it before. It comes with pre-installed iPhones and Apple Watch wearables. Now, the app stores credit cards, boarding passes, student IDs, and other items you might normally put in your physical wallet. Now, the new driver's license or state ID feature focuses on a specific use case. That's right, airports. Now, the post highlights quotes from the TSA agency supporting the move and commitment from TSA to accept digital IDs at airports and participating states. Now, after the announcement, Apple stated users will only be able to associate one fingerprint with the IDs on Touch ID devices to ensure that IDs can be used only by the actual ID holder. Now, digital identities is an important topic here. It takes us back to the question, how secure is your device in that secure enclave on the hardware? Is it jailbreak proof? Good question. I want to throw this to my co-host because now we've talked about digital identities before. I'm going to throw this to you first, Curtis. Like, obviously, from an application perspective, even from an enterprise perspective, this is a challenging thing because obviously, enterprise has digital identities today. They have smart cards. They have other things that they use that are very specific for a user's identity when they access company resources and other things. How will this be different from using a consumer phone for this type of thing?
Well, I think the big change is going to be the implied security and privacy. Consumer devices, especially Apple, now they take great pride in their device security, in their ecosystem security, and in the privacy of those things. The question is whether it is sufficient to protect a document with the repercussions that a driver's license can have. It's one thing if you have a credit card number stolen. The credit card agreements tend to protect the consumer. There's a financial issue, but that can be it. We've seen in many criminal and even terror cases that the repercussions of a stolen government ID can be huge. And so I think that the place that it's truly going to be different is in that level of security. That's why I think I find it fascinating and maybe a little encouraging that Apple is able to do this, especially since I know that some of the states they're looking at, their driver's licenses fall under the Real ID criteria. And that's another level entirely. So this is, I think, a good step in the right direction.
I agree. Now, Jupiter, I want to throw this to you because obviously, you've worked a lot in the industry and you've seen different types of secure devices and digital identifications. It sounds like Apple's trying to get back into the game when it comes to, enterprise use of their devices. Is this going to get them there, and is there any other things they need to do?
Well, I'm reasonably sure. Obviously, I haven't been able to see behind the curtain, but I am reasonably sure Apple is following along off a military project called the CAC card. I can't remember what CAC stands for, but the military ID is a smart card, and it allows people to carry their records with them from base to base. Now, one of the things that comes along the line is being scrolled on the screen, the Apple Cash gadget. So this is kind of where I think Apple is going. They want to be able to carry not only credit card, ID information, things like that, but in the case of the Apple Cash gadget, they want to be able to also carry cryptocurrency. So if we go back into science fiction, whether it's Asimov or whoever, there are always this little thing where they start talking about a credit chip, you know, being able to have it. In fact, I got these really cool printed devices from a friend of mine on the Star Trek set. And it was the Federation credit chip, which is very cool. Anyway, there's a lot of things that people want to do. This has been a holy grail, because the reality is checks, U.S. credit cards, even European credit cards, are horribly insecure. You know, even chip and PIN isn't that great. You know, when Curtis and I talked to a couple of people at a trade show quite a while ago, the finance guys are saying, yeah, chip and PIN's not perfect. There's still ways of messing with it. So maybe this, I hope, will become the next step to something more secure, because cryptography is finally a lot more robust, shall we say. And being able to carry around a little doodad like that cash gadget means you carry less, you know, that's a nice thin thing, you know. It might be along the lines of what we saw at some Miami clubs. They were actually using subcutaneous chips, like the ones you see in dogs and cats. They're using it to hold some basic ID, well, basically just a serial number. But it was registered with the club, and associated with that serial number was the person's identity. You know, I'm old enough to drink. And it also had how are you going to pay it. And amazingly enough, young women were actually having this inserted under their breasts. So as they're going into the club, you see the club guys actually scanning themselves. It's like, that's not going to go very far. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting baby steps along our way. And maybe someday, very soon, IDs and financial information might be something that you can stick into a pencil pocket in your shirt or your pants. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not sure about you guys.
I definitely tell you, like TPM, obviously one of these TPM, especially TPM version 2, is a very secure hardware way of securing data, like, for instance, passcodes, encryption keys, tokens of some kind. And so this seems to be a consumer version of that. A lot of companies, like, for instance, you see a lot of these companies out there allowing you to plug cards into the phone to produce a similar effect. And so Apple's saying, you know what, like, we're going to start with digital identities as being the real identities. We're going to work from the consumer facing side of things and work our way backwards. And I think this might be a way to get the hearts and minds of the industry and trust the devices a little bit more. They've been really successful with Touch ID. In fact, I haven't been able to find a jailbreak that actually allows you to actually access Touch ID data on the phone without ruining the data. So this is an interesting move forward to say, you know what, like, we'll allow users to start putting their real driver's licenses that they use to actually do things like fly and other things, potentially even take money out, bank transfers, that kind of thing, on their phone. And then once they do that, once that's successful, we'll apply other applications like you were showing, the money card and so on. Cheebert, I want to throw this to you because I have a feeling this seems like a Pandora's box, because, like I said, Apple's going from in reverse here. They're starting with a consumer, you know, potentially consumer based thing where all people need an ID to be able to get on a plane, and they're working backwards, but it's all dependent on whether the technology is there or not. Right.
Yeah. We're never going to get it if we wait for the federal government to do an electronic ID. It's not going to happen. Look at how often different countries have actually tried it. You know, being able to have an electronic ID for things like voting and so forth. It has been tried in some relatively small countries where the number of citizens was small enough that it wasn't going to drive everybody crazy trying this out. They work, kind of. Now, as far as I know, the largest rollout on Earth of electronic IDs is actually the U.S. military. Now, keep in mind, the U.S. military is the largest organization in the U.S. federal government, bar none. And the CAC card has been available for close to 20 years now, I think, 15, 20 years. It was actually good enough that when I was doing contracting work for power quality monitoring at a U.S. naval base in Hawaii, I was actually issued a civilian CAC card, which was kind of interesting. And they didn't just look at it. They actually stuck it into the device, and it would bring up from a database my information. So that even if I had a fake CAC card, so say someone go and pasted up their own picture over my card, it would validate it against the backend database, which was very cool. And it was all in, you know, very well encrypted. So I think Apple was taking a page from the US military. And I think I would imagine if I, this is me guessing now, I don't know for a fact, that Apple probably stole a whole bunch of the engineer types and programmer types from the original CAC card program. Because that is a whale of a bunch of experience, and maybe Apple will do it right and roll it out to an even larger population than the U.S. military.
Curtis, I want to throw this back to you for a last word here. Like we talked about this in the beginning around enterprise applications of this, right? I think the idea here is a lot of organizations, they use smart cards for that tap and go type identity. And, you know, now we're saying, okay, the phones can do this. Do you think that the smart card companies of the world, do you think they're shaking in their boots here? Do you think this is something that could be used for a similar application?
You know, I don't think they're shaking in their boots because I think most of them have already put plans in place to move their technologies to mobile devices like iPhones. And where they will really play heavily is when the technology starts shifting to Android phones. Apple is a closed ecosystem. Android phones are anything but. And when people start to do this sort of thing on Android phones, then the private players will come in. You know, I think a lot of this is something that governments and businesses are really looking forward to, because as we know, so many of the vulnerabilities exist where information is passed from one device, from one medium to another. By going to a phone, the Apple Wallet in this case, what is passed is typically a one-time use token, a unique one-time use token, so that even if it's intercepted, even if it's captured, it's useless. And that's what everyone is looking forward to, something that can't be usefully intercepted midstream, something that will make fraud and identity theft much more difficult than it is now.